Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Everybody.
Hi, everybody. Sorry, Dr. Nick wanted to pop in. Welcome.
Dr. Nick.
It's fun playing around with stuff on here, especially when you're live and no one can really get mad at you until afterwards.
Yeah.
What's going on, everybody? We're kind of here to decompress and to hopefully talk some people down off the ledge here. This is the Riverfront Bengals show. I am your host, Joe Farsing. Next to me, and somehow we're backwards. You should be on the other side of the screen. How'd that work?
I got you, fam.
It's all right. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Other side is Tim Daniel of Late Night Reds. Tim, how are you, sir?
Good, man. Just pulling a little back-to-back here, going a little doubleheader with Riverfront content tonight.
That's just the mark of a true pro. I mean, you're a team player. It's just fantastic. We love you.
I appreciate it.
Hi, Sydney. How are you? What you got going on? What's that?
Is it fitting? I had my Bengals hoodie on, but Iris puked all over me right before I got on air.
The only thing that would have been better if she would have shit on it, because that's the appropriate of what happened. The Bengals kind of shit on us again.
Yeah.
What do you got going on tonight at Late Night Reds?
We're going to talk about, we were supposed to have Paul Janisch. Unfortunately, you know, he is a college baseball coach for Rice, so he is at a recruiting event tonight. So he said, hey, man, I'm really sorry I couldn't make it. I'd love to come back on. Let's work out some options for another time. And really nice of him. I'm not a college coach, so I can't relate to that. So I can't be mad at him. But we'll definitely have Janisch on again soon. But we're going to talk about just kind of everything going down the stretch with the team. And I really want to talk about this stretch that Noelvi Marte has been on, man, because he has been great for this team.
He looks like, I mean, he kind of looks like he's kind of in the same vein as Spencer Stewart, someone who's a lot older, that has a lot more experience and has professional at bats.
Yeah, big, and awesome defender, man. So good with the glove.
I still feel bad for him because he looks rough because he still has the huge swelling under his eyes from getting beaten by LA the other day. Oh, man. Anyway, who would have thought that in 2023, the optimistic portion of a Bengals show would be talking about the Reds? Not the Bengals, and certainly not my beloved Bearcats. We won't even go into that. Luckily, we don't have a Bearcat show to...
Yet.
We will
follow Riverfront U, baby.
Yes. Looking forward to it. It's a little hint for those. Before we get going in full here, remember to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We will be giving away tickets to the October 15th game versus the Seattle Seahawks. Hopefully the game still means something. I don't think the Bengals are going to be out of it, but man.
Nah.
We'll be giving away tickets to the October 15th matchup to a lucky subscriber. Again, follow us on all the socials. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/RiverfrontCincy. Join the family, patreon.com/RiverfrontCincy. You can join the awesome Slack channel. You can get in, ask questions for the Reds thing. And today, we're trying out something new for those in our Slack channel, for those that are patrons. They can come on and ask a question live or have a comment with live with me and Tim. So we'll see how that goes. It could be a shit show, but
Who
knows?
It's all about experimenting with content, seeing what sticks.
Exactly. We're starting it on the show that nobody watches, and
we'll go
from there. No. I'm kidding. Even if nobody watches, I still have a whole hell of a lot of fun watching this.
At the end of the day, that's all that matters. But
exactly, amusing myself and hopefully one or two others.
Yeah, I feel that.
Appreciate it. quick game recap here. Bengals did lose 27-24 to the not very well liked and hated Baltimore Ravens. Bengals defense struggled to get a stop when it mattered.
Yeah.
It was one of those games where this was a game where Lamar Jackson looked like MVP Lamar. He was, what was he? He was 24 of 33, 237 yards, two touchdowns, 12 carries, 54 yards. And anytime they needed a play, he was either escaping out of what little pressure that the Bengals were actually able to get on him and making a clutch throw. He made a couple like sidearm throws or just escaping and running like he always does. It was frustrating because the Bengals defensive line, you figure today would be a good day to feast because the Ravens were down two offensive linemen. They had zero actual pressures until
That's
late in the game.
Where I was the most disappointed in today. You and Greg talked about it quite a and pretty lengthy on your show this week about if you keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket, that means you have pressure and he can't be himself. And he stayed in the pocket majority of the game today. He had a couple scrambles. But you know, and his pocket was just so easy to move around on. It wasn't like he, you know, I mean, that's not the right word, but he made such easy throws because he didn't have to run like hell today. He was comfortable. He was back there. He was finding everybody. I do have to give him props. That throw to Zay Flowers, as much as it irritated me, was awesome. But yeah, you know, Lamar Jackson in the pocket with no pressure could be pretty easy. We saw that with Andy Dalton, right? Like, if you didn't get pressure in the pocket, he was unbelievable. So,
yeah, the throw to Flowers was an absolute seed. And it's one of those, like, you really couldn't even defend that. The Bengals had two defenders down there, and he just absolutely put the ball at a spot. Flowers actually kind of caught it against his helmet, for those that were able to watch. We're just kind of flicking through some quick stats here. But, yeah, it was Hendrickson had a strip sack and fumble was subsequently recovered by the Bengals, but it was overturned because of an illegal hands-to-the-face penalty by Zach Carter. It was kind of sketchy, but you know, his hands were up around his face and completely understand. There were some other really
bad. The Odell thing really irritated me because it's 30 yards away from the play. And
yeah, that was actually another play. They actually had him. They actually were able to get pressure on Lamar and hem him in. And it almost looked like Odell, like, tried to stop route, like, tried to stop and lost his balance and grabbed onto Cam Taylor-Britt to keep, you know, try to keep his balance, dragged him off top of him. And the official who just glances over sees Odell falling backwards and Cam Taylor-Britt on top of him and just throws the flag. It ended up like not really mattering. They ended up just kicking a field goal, but it cost them it saved the Ravens a timeout
for sure.
And it let Lamar Jackson do that last little run to kind of put the ball in the position where, just Tucker was able to kick it from, you know, whatever hash. Now, anything 55, 57, 58 yards in, Tucker's going to make it. He was making kicks from 65. I saw from, like, I can't remember who it was. It was one of the
70,
Bengals beat
writers. I think?
Yeah, he hit one from 70. He did miss a 59-yarder, but 59-yarder. Like, those aren't gimmies. And even for, you know, someone that's that literally the best kicker in NFL history, it's not a huge deal to miss one of those every now and again.
You can make the case in these Bengals-Ravens games, right, that the two best kickers in the league are in these games. Like,
yeah, I mean, at least the two most clutch.
Yeah.
I mean, Tucker hits an NFL record 66-yarder last year at the gun, doinks it off the center of the crossbar to trickle over and beat the Lions last year. Just absolute craziness. But so yeah, I mean, the penalty kind of really didn't matter, but they're just a lot of – they didn't start calling holds on the Ravens until late in the game. And just some ticky-tack stuff that was just frustrating. But again, I mean, the Bengals were their own enemy. The defense, we'll just get into it here. Defense doesn't look good at all.
No. I thought they came out pretty solid in the first couple drives. And then it was like from there, they just stopped. You know the Ravens' MO is to run the ball up the middle and just kind of... Yeah. And with a guy like DJ Reader, who's been so good in that role for so long, to just kind of at times feel non-existent, was really irritating. you know, Logan Wilson wasn't the Logan Wilson we're used to. I thought if you look around the defense, the one player I thought really did a really good job today was probably, and it's funny to say because he did really well last week too, is probably Dax Hill.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if he's this guy. I hope he is because he's played really well for 2 weeks now. That pass breakup on the short throw for Mark Andrews was great. But it seems like at times, and I'm not blaming Nick Scott, he was hurt quite a bit today. That happens. Hopefully he's all right and he'll be back for Monday night against his former team. But I just was so disappointed that they just could not get a stop. And that's not a knock on, you know, I don't feel like Luana Marrero had them ready. And I'm not blaming the coaches guy, except for I think Zach Taylor was a schmuck today. But that was not Luana Marrero's finest hour.
Yeah, he was outcoached by a first year, second game ever NFL offensive coordinator in Todd Monken. It was frustrating to see Sam Hubbard caught off guard, especially the last drive when the Bengals needed a stop, absolutely needed a stop to get any chance just to get the ball back. And just on a couple RPOs, he took the wrong guy and he allowed Jackson to get outside and pick up extra yards, pick up a first down. Logan Wilson started out playing really well. And then just as the game went on, I think the defense just kind of wore out, as you know.
Yeah.
But they were out schemed. They kept trying to blitz. They couldn't get home and they left the middle of the field wide open.
And they were also, you know, in the 30 minutes of the first half, probably on the field for 19 minutes and 44 seconds of it, probably.
Yeah, there was a lot. Again, just Bengals offense in the first half. They had 62 total yards in the first half. And you can't keep doing that. The second half, nope. I will say, the second half, the offense looked.
Yeah, almost, T. Higgins looked awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. They looked almost Bengalish. I'll bring up the Bengal stats again. T. Higgins, 8 catches, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns. Chase, only 5 catches, 31 yards. Absolutely bright spot. I'm surprised we haven't talked about it yet. Chuck Sizzle.
Yeah.
I've kind of been down on him. Not
me too.
Down. I mean, he's a rookie. He's, you know, only played a few, you know, preseason games. And now week 2 of the season. But I really hadn't seen any, like, even any traits or attributes that would make me think this guy could be a difference maker at the NFL. He didn't make anybody miss, and he struggled to get separation, even playing against backups when he was playing wide receiver. Again, you're playing with Jake Browning and Trevor Siemian, but he sure as hell made some people miss on that punt return.
He looked like the Big Ten championship, Chuck Sizzle.
Absolute decisive. Yeah. I mean, one cut, split the gunners on the left side and just outraced everybody down the line. He was clocked at 21.0 miles an hour, the fastest player in the game per NFL Next Gen stats. He's when he can get up top speed, you're not going to catch him from behind. It's just, what is he able to make that first move, especially on a punt return? You need to have a lot of wiggle. You need to get that first move out of the way. You can't just run in a straight line. Hopefully, you know, we get to see more of that. An 81 yard punt return sure as hell helps your average. We'll say that.
Yeah, he looked like good Peter Warwick, right? Remember we'd get good Peter Warwick every like 5 or 6 weeks?
He was a guy that I think was underutilized.
Same. Absolutely love him. Got his jersey in my closet.
He had so much ability. I think he could have been almost Jamar Chase-like. I think he was a little bit smaller. He was like under 5 foot. He was a little over 5 foot. I think it was under 6 foot. And, you know, he's used more as a, uses the punt returner, whereas no one would ever think to be used Jamar as a punt returner. They don't want to get him hurt, but
yeah, please don't.
Yeah. Just a fun guy when you were able to get him out in the open field, could make plays. And everyone remembers the punt return against the Chiefs in 2003 when the Chiefs were undefeated.
Yeah, he had the kick return in the Super Bowl that got brought back in the Seahawks Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That, talk about games where the refs were on the take.
Right.
Also, check the Steelers and the Cardinals Super Bowl. That also was not very well officiated. We'll be nice and say that.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, but kind of back to the defense. I can only recall one actual negative play that the Bengals defense called or was able to cause late in the third quarter. Late in the third quarter, they had the ball. It was first and 10. they get called for holding. So it's first and 20. They try to run the ball. Bengals stop them for a 3 yard loss. So it's second and 23. Like, you're in prime opportunity to get off the field. They're three and out. Very next play, 20 yard completion. Next play, a 4 yard run to Gus Edwards because he just moves the chains because he is just a huge back. And yeah, they ended up scoring a touchdown. That was the 17 yard pass to Nelson Aguilar. He had a good game. It's kind of a guy I totally forgot with all the guys that they have at receiver. Like, they don't have any great receivers. That they've got a bunch of pretty good receivers. He had a pretty good game. I mean, again, here that Raven stats, 5 catches, 63 yards. Mark Andrews, 5 catches, 45 yards and a touchdown. Zay Flowers, 4 catches, 62 yards. Lamar Jackson hit 8 different receivers.
Can't have you having that.
No. And again, it's able just to find Mark Andrews when he needed to. Let's step away from the defense. What do you do about Joe Burrow? He finally looked like himself. That interception was an absolute rookie.
Yeah, that was not a good throw.
That was staring down T. Higgins. The safety was, I don't think that safety did anything exotic. He was playing split coverage, and he just totally, I think he just assumed the safety was going to take Chase. He had, Chase was running, I don't know what kind of, some kind of a corner route or a vertical route. And I guess he just assumed that they were going to double him. So he just didn't even look him up. He just looked at T all the way straight down the field and threw it right to him. He returned it for 38 yards. And then very next play was the deep pass to Zay Flowers and 14 point swing in five plays.
Yeah. If he's able to walk on the field, plant his foot and throw, I don't think you have a choice.
Yeah.
Because the drop off from Joe Burrow to Jake Browning is way different than it was Joe Burrow to Brandon Allen. And not that Brandon Allen was someone who you were like, this guy can win us the game, but it was someone you know you could count on to not lose you the game. And I think they're in that predicament where that's their best case scenario. That interception was terrible. Yeah. But like you said, Joe, there was a lot of things to like in that second half when they were rolling. They took way too much time on that last drive when they got that touchdown to Higgins. But the Bengals in the 2 minute are so fun to watch. Yeah. And I wish if I were them, I'd just run the 2 minute all day. I'd just go straight Oregon Ducks. Old Marcus Mariota days. And he had the one play where he avoided the sack and really like got moving again. That was nice. But obviously something's not right. And yes, there's no training camp. And I know he said that multiple times that he did, he didn't get to participate in camp and he wished he had, and that might have made a lot of difference. But this was kind of really irritating to see because, we know that he is the second best quarterback in football, right? We know what he's capable of doing, and we know he's better than this. He knows he's better than this. So seeing a day like today was really disappointing when that game was there to be taken. And he's the guy that takes those games, right? He's the guy that if you have a low-hanging fruit for Joe Burrow, he's going to beat you. And they just weren't able to capitalize today. That throw in the first drive to Irv Smith, where Irv Smith didn't get his foot down, I kind of felt like we were doing from the jump. But I don't know. Sydney was there today. Should we bring her on to get her thoughts?
I think we should. Let's bring her on here.
Hey, friend.
Sydney, howdy.
Howdy, howdy.
Sydney, you were at Paycor today, unfortunately.
I unfortunately was, yes.
What happened?
Well, Bengals lost, as y'all have been talking about. Mm-hmm. That happened. Joe Burrow got possibly hurt again. Re-aggravated that calf. Which sucks. And honestly, you were just talking about it. If he has to miss time, I don't think it should be Jake Browning. Depends on how comfortable Will Greer feels, but I would have more faith in him than Jake Browning, to be perfectly honest. That's how I feel about that. And, we also weren't getting home at all on defense. We were sending guys our defense normally gets home, but they didn't today at all. No pressure given up on Lamar, and there were too many rushing attempts where he just ran straight up the middle and, oh, everybody, the pocket collapsed, and he was able to just run up the gut and just get easy money, get easy yards. And that saved the Ravens time after time, on top of flags that y'all talked about. That helped them. We never really got any flags going our way. We got like two, I believe, the entire game, two or three. There was a PI that was very blatant on Jamar, and then we had the one they picked up on the Chuck Sizzle touchdown, which, to be honest, I didn't even watch half of that play because I saw a flag, and I'm like, all right, flag on a punt return. You know, that's normal. That's typical Bengals crap. I'm just not even going to pay attention. Yeah, sure, he scored. Uh-huh. This is coming all the way back.
I was completely convinced that
I was too.
Great. You know, you're down this awesome that you look great, but yeah. I'm not going to be excited. And, you know, Bengals were already coming onto the field. The offense was heading to like around the 25 yard line.
Yep.
So, yeah, I at least finished watching the play because I had it on TV. But
right.
See, I was there in person. So I just like looked somewhere else. I was looking at something else. And I'm like, when the play's over, it's whatever. They're going to come back. And I looked up and I saw the offense coming out on the field. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And then they started talking. And I'm like, what are they talking about? Who it was on? Like, numbers? Like, I mean, the refs weren't great today. Between that and the offensive holding that was called on Josh Tupou.
That was pretty great.
Yeah. I will say, for how much we're criticizing this team today, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
I thought the offensive line was pretty good today. I thought they did a really good job. Burrow got sacked once. Joe Mixon was able to find holes. They have it on the stat sheet, one sack yards.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
But Joe Mixon found some holes.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. I think Joe Mixon's ran the ball really well. So for these first two games,
absolutely.
I know, Joe, you had me on with Jeff in the summer, and I was the one that the three of us are saying, I really hope that they don't renegotiate a deal and he's gone. And I'm eating crow for that right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's ran the ball really hard. I really appreciate it. Pass blocking's a little better. That's not saying much. But you can see the difference Orlando Brown definitely makes on this offensive line. And then our guy, the power mustache of Brad, what's going on here? Like, first off, why is he wearing 10? My dog. We can't be doing that.
No.
Second, there was like the story that came out after the first punt where I guess Darren was waiting for him, ripped him a new one, walked away from him, came back and ripped him some more of a new one.
Ooh.
And it was kind of interesting, but
yeah,
kind of irritating.
Again, for a guy that's supposedly has this massive leg, and again, he's more hang time than distance.
Yeah,
three punts, average of 40 yards, longest of 41. So he's kicking 39 yards, 40 yards, 41. Like, I appreciate the consistent. Yeah, I appreciate the concern. Well, Chrisman would do 41 yards, but on a line drive, and the coverage wouldn't have any chance. That's the one positive thing. They're not getting much on the return. The one last week was the one that killed me because it was a weenie-ass punt when they shouldn't even have punted. It was 4th and 3 from the 38.
Yep.
And he boots it into the end zone, so you get an 18-yard net. But
and that's what he was known for coming out of Michigan, is he had, I believe, like zero touchbacks at Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Michael, it's funny. Like, they have these celebrations. Like, they immediately just run all the way down the field, whether it's an interception. Even if they're on the one-yard line, they'll run all the way down to the other end zone for these celebrations. And when there's a, like, defense doesn't – what's that?
I said walk. No, don't run. Don't waste your energy running.
Yeah, because then you got to come back anyway if it's overturned because of a penalty or anything. So.
Yep.
It's frustrating to be talking about an 0-2 team. This was last year. Does this feel like last year at all to either of you?
No! I'm so glad you brought that up. because I was going to get into that. And don't get me wrong, I think the schedule coming up this year is easier than it was last year when they went on run.
Yeah.
I'm not freaking out about playing the Rams on Monday night. Believe me, I'm not freaking out about playing the Arizona Cardinals, who are throwing games to throw games. We're starting my guy, Josh Dobbins. Nope. I got love for JD because he's bald and I like bald guys going out there and throwing slings, just slinging it.
Yeah.
But not losing sleep over playing either of those two teams. We got the Seahawks game coming up. I don't necessarily think they're particularly awesome by any stretch of the matter. I know they beat the Lions today. Yeah, they got the Titans game. I'm not freaking out about Ryan Tannehill.
Or Malik Willis, or, you know.
Is that the Will Levis game? Well, I don't know. Tannehill looked pretty decent today. So.
Yeah, he's on my bench. My fantasy football team, my quarterbacks that I started with, we do super flex. I had Jordan Love and Joe Burrow. Again, I went against my gut, you know, or went against my better judgment and let Burrow in there. My backup quarterbacks were Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill, and they both outpointed my starting quarterbacks. Now, I'm absolutely running away, so it's not a big deal. But I'm still annoyed.
I mean, I started Lamar, so.
Yeah, you had a good game.
I don't play. I retired.
I'm in Joe's league, all right?
Oh, are you? Did you see the Rams kick the field goal today to, like, hit the line? It was a push.
It was a meaningless.
Yeah, it's 30-20 at the gun. They kicked the field goal to make it 30-23. The spread was 7.
You tell me there's no money on the game.
Right. Sean McVay was like, betters, I got you. Though, I am scared about Kyron Williams. I'm not going to lie. He's good.
Tutu Atwell.
Puka.
Yeah, he's good too.
He's got 25 catches in 2 games. No, legitimately, the Rams scare me a lot more today than they did a couple weeks ago. Aaron Donald is still going to eat people's children and beat them with helmets.
Yep.
And
Myles Garrett again.
What's that?
It's like facing Myles Garrett again.
Yeah, and totally just, and it's, you know, it doesn't matter how good or how bad your offensive line is, that guy's going to make plays.
Yeah.
And the Rams have looked pretty decent. I mean, they won week one, and it was a competitive game today. I'm concerned about going 0-3. It's a home game. It's Monday night. It's the whiteout. It's the Ring of Honor game. So the fans and everything, it's going to be a very hostile environment, but who's going to be taking snaps?
Yeah.
I heard Matt Ryan still around.
No, thanks.
Nah.
Matt Ryan had absolutely nothing left. He had a less than Andy Dalton pop gun, and Jake Browning has an Andy Dalton pop gun arm, so no thanks.
Hey, just keep him in town. Keep him in town. He was already there calling the game.
Yeah.
Can we do like the old classic Nick Saban Miami Dolphins and just have Joe Mixon taking snaps and kind of go from there?
See, then he has an arm on him.
Chase Brown. No, we have Jamar taking snaps. All right.
There you go.
Chase Brown is your motion guy. Okay? Feeling me? You have Joe kind of sitting in the corner. You can run a couple reverses for him to throw the ball downfield. I'm just pulling out my Madden offense here. Come on, guys.
That's
we're just running out cheese.
Yeah. Straight cheesing the whole game.
If you're pulling out Nick Saban NFL, like that's deep, deep bank knowledge there.
Well, have you seen his quarterbacks at Alabama?
They're not having fun this
James
year.
Urban, I'm so sorry.
I'm not, because it's okay to have a down year. Yeah. Again, the goddamn Bearcats lost to the Red Hawks yesterday.
In overtime.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah. Cindy and I both have season tickets.
Yeah.
People need to talk me off the ledge this weekend. Again, when the Reds
are the Bearcats, not the Bengals.
Yeah, when the Reds are the absolute like high point, and they were supposed to suck.
Hey, FC Cincinnati. All right, don't forget about them.
Yeah, but they were only able to pull out a draw.
There was a basketball team this year that went to the Sweet 16. That's in the city of Cincinnati, according to the postal code. Just saying.
I was told that being a Xavier fan was bad by some Barstool guy.
Oh, boy. It's still going.
Yeah, Norwood is in Cincinnati, Tim.
No, but if you look at the address,
I know
it's
they're in technically like part Avondale, almost Evanston. I just gotta give them crap.
I know. It's all in fun.
Michael,
yeah. That's awesome.
I'm
sure Yoshi could play QB. That guy can do anything.
That would be awesome.
Teddy Bridgewater wore number 50 playing quarterback this preseason, so why not?
Oh, man.
Anytime I can pull up the Yoshi GIF, I am all for it. And that was kind of my weird thing. When the 49ers in the playoffs last year, when they lose their quarterbacks, why didn't they have CMC like run some kind of weird single wing or triple option? Instead, they had Brock Purdy and just to hand the ball off. It was the weirdest, craziest thing that I've, I get you don't have a quarterback, but you're giving up.
Do you remember when Carson Palmer broke his hand that one year and he was still playing? So when he was doing handoffs, he was handing off this throwing
with
hand.
David, we do agree. I don't want to say the division sucks. It's a tough division.
But Steelers-Browns on Monday Night Football is like the least exciting games I can possibly think of.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, between that and we got, what is it, Saints-Panthers as my other option? Come on.
Yeah,
at least we can see Bryce Young in that game, who I am really high on. But in this game, I'm not super stoked about Kenny Pickett versus Deshaun Watson.
But Andy Dalton is one snap away from playing.
And it happens everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes.
Hey, we don't play them this year.
I know. It's the first year he hasn't played the Bengals since he left. So
it is.
Something will happen. He'll get traded at the deadline to somebody, right. and he'll show up, and he'll have a good game because it's not going to be a primetime game.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Who do they play around that time? The Colts? It's like, if Gardner Minshew can't go?
I mean, if AR can't go.
Yeah.
Richardson is... I wonder if he's going to be next week. Yeah, he ended up getting yanked for the concussion, so...
He's been looking good.
He's exciting. The quarterbacks that came in this year, a hell of a lot more exciting than last year.
For sure.
I've got so much love for Des Ritter, but he's a system quarterback. He's a game manager.
He's Andy Dalton. He
hopes to be Andy Dalton, but in his college and NFL career, and I had to let Greg know this because he was absolutely smashing Dalton. First, he smashes Dez, anytime I bring him up on the regular show, anytime I bring him up on Slack, he absolutely destroys him. And I had to bring him up. He's now 27-0 at home in his college and NFL career. That's shit crazy.
Bijan Robinson definitely helps. That dude is awesome.
He's legit.
He's the real deal.
How about Kyle Pitts? Is he around?
He's on the team.
He's there.
He's the jersey.
He had a really good rookie season. And he's
Word says non-existent.
Yeah, that's the reason why I have hope for Dez. And again, we're Bengals show, not a Falcon show, but
yeah,
he still hasn't fully utilized the guys. He's got Drake London. Drake London is a really good receiver. He's got Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is an absolute generational talent. Now he's whether he what's that?
He's a unit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
See, I did draft Bijan in fantasy, so he had a really nice game for me today.
Yeah. Michael Sparks asked if we can get Fitzmagic back. I'm all for it as long as he wears the open, we can see the chest hair action going.
The sterling push. It's sexy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and not in a commercial with Kevin Hart, like literally on the field.
How old is he?
I don't know.
He has to be up like past 40. I would think
he's close to it.
You know, who looked really good in the new unis today. Who I thought really could have gotten some nice run in. AJ Green.
Yeah,
I feel like they should have put him on the field. He has a tendency to beat the Ravens. You know,
he kind of had some good games against the Ravens. Yeah, ruler of the jungle this week. Unfortunately, wasn't able to bring any good juju. Did you see they actually signed him for a 1-day contract? So he
I thought that was awesome.
I love when they do that. Yeah,
yeah.
He's somebody. Borderline Hall of Fame career. I don't think he'll make it because there's such a backlog of receivers, but in terms of talent and his first 7 years,
oh my God.
He and Julio were 1A and 1B. I mean, those two were the exact same, like his, their numbers, like 1,000 yards every year. And until he just, he started to get injured and break down a little bit.
I'll never forget when he was working out with Calvin Johnson, and Calvin Johnson was like, he does things I can't do. I was like, that's saying something.
And that's the brightest star that's ever flashed at wide receiver in NFL history, in Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, he's my favorite Bengal of my lifetime. Just kind of the year they got him, what they were able to do with him, and what he brought to the franchise. Yeah, it's my dude. Pat says he's worried about Burrow. I think that's pretty common around the fan base right now.
I do got to clarify, and need you to comment below. Worried how, in terms of just because of the injury still lingering, or because I think before he got injured again at the very end, he was starting to look Joe Burrow-ish. And if he had walked off the field at that point, I think that, and even if they lost by 3, you know, I think the discussion would be a lot different if he hadn't limped off.
I think not thinking Joe Burrow is tremendous. They highlighted today the 2.2 seconds to let the ball out. But not thinking Joe Burrow is when Joe Burrow's at his best, when he just rolls with it. Yeah. And they got to find a way to get that back. The offensive line has done their job. So it's the thing that's got to get going. But
the biggest thing to me was when, like, second half, when we would stop just swing passing it, or hey, we're just giving it to Mixon and he's going to get like 2 yards. And then that's going to be our offense. And then why couldn't we just throw it to T, throw it to Jamar, you know, throw it to them a little bit more instead of, you know, we're just going to hand it off to Trevion Williams for 2 yards. You know, that's when it started to turn around and start to look better, is when he started to actually try to throw it more.
The middle of the field was open all game long. And
they didn't attack it at all.
No, they didn't attack it at all until they started to get T. Higgins involved in the second half. They just kept trying to push it to the perimeter, either on swing passes. I think they ran at least one, if not two, screens. And even when they went downfield, it was their passes down the sideline. It was just
– yeah.
I was wondering, like, are they just trying to set it up to bring Smith and Patrick Queen closer to the line of scrimmage so the intermediate routes are open? And maybe that was the – plan, but start that earlier so you have more than 62 yards in the first half.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys think Zach Taylor should give up play calling?
Yes. I think he should give up everything, realistically.
I think he's excellent.
I think he's a great motivator. Yep. I think he gets his guys going. But he coaches too many damn games like he's an offensive coordinator. And it drives me insane. And today, what happened to Zach Taylor that had the cojones when you're like, oh, man, like, I know they probably should punt here, but we got Joe F. and Burrow, and he's got an offensive line. Like, let's sling it. There's none of that. None of that.
None.
The 2 years ago against the Vikings, they went for it fourth and short from their own 30, or, you know, somewhere within their own 30, 35-yard line, and didn't go for it. I was like, this guy's fucking crazy. Like, what? Why is he, you know, why is he going for it? Like, I love the aggression. Like, they're actually playing the percentages. And now he's just curled up and his big old watermelon sized balls are size of M&Ms. Like, dude, you lose games because you play scared, because you coach scared. That's why Marvin Lewis was such a terrible big game coach. He coached scared. He would never go for it on fourth anywhere near midfield. You'd have to be at like the 40-yard line just because he was afraid to kick a long field goal to even, you know, to even attempt it. Last week it was 4th and 3 from the 38, and the bots that, you know, they tell you the winning percentage, they lost 5, like their chance to win went down 5% by punting it from the 38, and Robbins punted it into the damn end zone, so you only gained 20 yards. I mean, this week again it was that 4th and manageable, and he punted it. Like, you can't be afraid.
Especially when the offense is not really humming and you need something. You need something, and we were down, I believe, 2 scores at that point. So we need to get something going fast, you know, if we want to try to win this game. And I felt like towards the end he was playing more not to lose instead of to win.
I think Joe Burrow should just do the thing, like, remember the Titans playoff game when he's like, my helmet radio went out and I just said that we were in two minute and I just had to get going. Just do that. Just
literally, just let him call the plays. Whoever's calling it now, whether it be Zach, whether it be Brian Callahan, not good. Not good at all.
Well, it's all Zach. I mean, he does, and I've never understood why owners give that much authority to one coach. Even Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick's one of the greatest coaches in NFL history, but you hire these guys, let them call the plays. You've got so much other stuff. You've got to worry about all the situations. You've got to worry about challenges. Assistant coach or assistant head coach whose job is just to keep track of things like timeouts and challenges and things like that. Him smacking something on his camera.
Oh, sorry. I had a gnat in my room.
I've got one that's buzzing around here. So if you see me grabbing at something, I'm not having spasms. It's right in front of my face and driving me up a goddamn wall. But yeah, it would be great if, I think Zach Taylor would be a great head coach. Let Brian Callahan go. I think that's cost Brian Callahan a job so far. He's proven that he can scheme. He's proven that he can get the most out of players, but he hasn't gotten a head coaching job, I think, because he hasn't had any play coaching or play calling experience yet. I don't know. Just my thoughts. I don't know if you guys.
Yeah, sorry. I was on mute for a second because I was screaming at Matt.
So.
I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, we can't be continuing to be having quarters and halves where it's like three points, or like, hey, we have 10 points, but 7 of that was Chuck Sizzle on a punt return. Because that was our first one in like, what, 11 years?
I was at the last one, 2012?
Yeah, it was 2012. That's right.
Yep. I was at that one.
It was Pac-Man, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So we
also
can't
have a good week.
No, he has not.
it'll be better because they're going to drop those calls, or they're going to drop the charges because the video doesn't look as bad. But
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, something has to change, whether it be, something. It can't be just all, we're going to swing past it and we're going to try to just, all right, we're going to try to leave the middle of the field open to attack it. When? Third quarter to me is too late. You like you said, Joe, you can't be coaching skate. You have to be coaching a little bit aggressive. I mean, you don't need to be coaching too aggressive and be going for it like sort of USF was doing against Alabama last night, but you have to do some sort of middle ground.
He coaches like he tries to just get by, like, okay, we're limited, so we're going to try to get by instead of changing the scheme, instead of changing stuff. He's just going to try to get by, try to keep it close until he can take the reins off. Anyway, we're going to get out of here soon because we know Tim's got to prep. He's got his own show to go for. So any comments before we get out of here?
Me? Sydney? Oh, sorry.
Oh, Sydney, you got any final thoughts, any comments before we get out of here?
I hope Joe Burrow is okay. I don't want him to miss time, but if he is not, say 80%, I'd rather him miss time than not.
Same. And we'll find more in the next day or so. Bengals have an extra day because they play Monday versus the Rams. So hopefully just a small tweak and it's, he can at least be back to where he was today. So we shall see. Hopefully it's, nothing serious and it didn't make anything worse or bring him back to where he was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. My final comment.
Yeah.
I want the old Zach Taylor back. Bring me the cojones. I think you're an awful coach and play caller, but I love the aggressiveness and bring it back.
Please.
Yeah, that would be nice. My final thoughts, just exhale. This isn't last year. This is, you can't just assume they're going to be able to turn it back on, but it's only 0-2. Yeah, they're 0-2 in the division. They were 0-3 in the division last year. Like they have the talent. They have the ability to pull out of this hole. I think they'll be okay, but anyway, everyone, I want to thank everyone for coming on here live on a Friday. Wow,
man,
on a Sunday night. I have no idea what the hell is going on.
Is that any different than normal, Joe?
It is not any different. It's if you ever have kids, you'll learn. Tim, you'll be there soon enough if you're not there now. Days all run together, and got to wake up at 6:45 again because school.
I know Sunday's a show day slash winning time is on tonight. That's how I know my Sundays. So,
well, that works. See, I don't have any Sunday shows to watch anymore since Righteous Gemstones is, you know, the season's over already.
Have you not watched Winning Time?
I have not, only because I don't know.
I think you'd enjoy it, actually. I really do.
It's more or less a shrine. I might have to watch it on my own. I know it's something that the missus isn't going to have any interest at all in watching because she likes baseball. She likes football. She has absolutely no interest in basketball. So that might be Plus, something like, I'll throw on when I'm working.
I got to interview Jeff Pearlman about it a couple years ago, so I support.
He's a fantastic writer.
Big fan. Big fan.
All right, everyone else, stick around. Watch Tim. Tim's awesome. Outside of that, we will be back on here Thursday. I will have Greg with me. We will preview the Monday night game. Hopefully have decent news on Joe Burrow front and preview for first win of the season. Ring of Honor, whiteout, Monday night football. It's going to be fantastic. So long, everybody.